Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things that we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She founded her namesake San Antonio-based firm in 2004 and now works on luxury residences throughout Texas and beyond, providing a full range of interior design and renovation services. Ranging from elegantly traditional to warmly contemporary, the firm's interiors infuse a classic American style with a certain cosmopolitan European flair. A California native, she studied French and art history at SMU, where she began a lifelong passion for architecture and design. A devoted Francophile, she's developed a considerable experience in textiles, antiques, and the decorative arts during her frequent visits to England, France, and other European countries. She draws equal inspiration from the rich cultural, architectural, and landscape of the Southwest, particularly the historic environs of San Antonio. And it turns out she's quite busy making the world more beautiful. Melissa Morgan, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm a big fan. Oh,
well, it's great to have you on the show today, Melissa, and I can't wait to hear more about you, because that's why we're here. So take us back and talk to us a little bit about Melissa falling in love with design for the first time.
Well, oh gosh, so I think I might have a story like many of them, the other ones, and that is that I think I've always loved design, and I really couldn't point to one particular time or event that got me interested. I've always loved, you know, redecorating the spaces I was in, you know, that was when I was young in my room and at our house growing up. Even if it was making, you know, forts and hideouts and stuff when we were really little in the backyard and at friends' houses, I just loved making spaces. You know, and I think I've evolved from, you know, all the things that we, you know, used to love. I remember my favorite was my room growing up with periwinkle blue and yellow Laura Ashley print that I thought was just the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. And I was so excited to have that. And now I just can look back and I think it was really probably a function of just being exposed to just a lot of good taste and not really from design necessarily. I didn't have a mother or a grandmother that was a decorator, but you know, both of them actually always, they have great style, you know, and that was in the way that they did their homes. You know, there was always, you know, antiques, a lot of French antiques, a lot of English antiques, mainly a lot of Asian and influence on things. And then just in general, that, you know, their love of kind of the way they dress, just kind of very classic, and, you know, their love of flowers and gardening. And I think all those things just have kind of a cumulative effect. And I just kind of always knew that I loved it. I just never knew that it could be a career. I didn't start out as being a decorator. I didn't go to design school. I actually went to law school after studying, you know, political science and art history and that sort of thing. And then decided, and I practiced for, you know, a long time, about 10 years, corporate law. And I enjoyed it very much. But then there just came a point in my life when that was just not going to work anymore. And at the time, I had two very young children, one of whom was a baby. And I didn't want that sort of career for me. And so just decided to do something different. And so just opened up the door and said, now I'm a decorator. It's kind of as simple as that. I did not want to go back to school. I didn't want to go to design school only because I'd done enough school, right, and enough testing, and I just couldn't do any more of that. And nor did I want to work for anyone else again, as far as like work in someone else's firm, because I was always in a law firm. And so I just decided to kind of make my own thing and start. Of course, it starts very small that way. And that's a good thing because it just kind of compounds and grows on itself. You know, it grows naturally, that sort of thing. So, yeah, so that's how it started. It wasn't the normal the normal segue into design was being a lawyer, I don't think. But It is what it is.
It seems to be working pretty well, so I would say don't fix it, right?
Yeah, so I can't go back and change that, so.
Do talk to us about that transition, because, I mean, you make it sound so nonchalant that you just made this transition, but something tells me there might have been some sleepless nights during that period.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, 2020 hindsight, you can look back and think, oh gosh, that was meant to be, and that was the perfect thing that could happen, but of course, things don't feel that way when you're in the moment, but, you know, it just was a lot of, there was heartache. It's a hard time to switch completely your kind of focus and what you do with, as far as your work life. And, it was just a matter of like putting one foot in front of the other and just starting and kind of trying to make this work. And because it's what I kind of thought, I could really do this. I really like doing this. And I just really want to give this my all. And I was really, really fortunate in that I had some very dear friends who were also decorators, kind of, you know, some in New York, some here, kind of all over, that were just incredibly kind and gracious in their knowledge of, because there's so many questions that you have. And, oh gosh, there's so many questions on how do you do this? Where do you find that? I mean, so much of it is sourcing too. And so, when you have someone that will always give you an answer and be helpful, that was just absolutely invaluable. Because had I not had that backbone, of support, I wouldn't have been able to do it at all. So I'm grateful for that. But yes, it was a matter of, one day just going out and getting business cards and, a bank account or whatever, just for the business. And then, you're kind of like open for business and you just start very small projects. And it's all kind of word of mouth from there for the most part, in the beginning, at least for certain.
So Melissa, talk to me a little bit then about this support that you received from the community as you were getting started. I have found that the design industry, unlike some, are very supportive of neighbors, of peers. That seems to be what you experienced.
Oh, without a doubt. No, so much support and always, given an answer and a good idea. And I think it also goes back to what I really believe in on this business that I've definitely found. And that is that you're only as good as the people around you and your sources and, your workrooms and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I'm always happy when a designer asks me now, oh, who do you use for this or who do you use for that? I love giving out these people's names because I think that there's a real value in sharing those and giving those good people more work, and even though they're busy, they can, sometimes barely handle the more work, but, I think good work, is rewarded. And, so I'm always happy to share those sources, just like they were always shared with me. And, it wasn't always just sources that were shared, but it was, ideas on, oh, how you do this, this is, this detail, you need to put it in when you do this kind of upholstery on this particular kind of chair and that sort of thing. I mean, it's all very helpful. And so I always try to return back to other people what people did for me, because I could not have started this without that help, because I never worked in a firm before. Right. I never worked for another decorator together. And I think you learn so much that way that you wouldn't learn in, like anything, you don't learn that in design school necessarily. You don't learn a lot of things in school. It's on the job, education really.
It really is. Well, it's wonderful that you're paying it forward then with the future in mind. That kind of good energy always comes back to you, doesn't it?
I do believe that's true. Yes. Yes.
So when you think about the wide range of things that you are engaged in every day and the work that you're now doing, Melissa, what is it that you love the most about this work?
Well, I think what I love the most is really trying to, especially with new clients, people you don't otherwise know, really getting to know them and their needs and their wants of, how they need their home to function. Some of course have children, some don't have children, some of the children are gone, then you have the pets, and then the location of the house. And it's really just kind of, it's almost like a little jigsaw puzzle of figuring out, what they need, and then kind of trying to read, between the lines of what they tell you that they need, because oftentimes, maybe they haven't given a lot of thought of putting into words exactly how they want their house to function, but to kind of just glean ideas from what they're saying. And, based on, my experience, try to fashion something together that works really well for them. And, you know, just to try to help them create and cultivate, you know, their own style. Oftentimes, well, you know, every client's different. So some will come to you with a very specific idea of what they want the final product to kind of look like or feel like. Some don't really know at all. And so that's when you really get to kind of figure out what style works best with them, and not necessarily what I think is, I'm not going to have them do something that I don't care for, but, you know, so it doesn't all look just like me. That's not really the point, because I don't live there. They're the ones that live in that house. So that's what I do enjoy. And, you know, it's a process. Every time it's a process, and it's a different process every time. So you really have to be kind of flexible and willing to listen. And sometimes it goes fast and sometimes it's slow, but you have to take the time to do it because it's just really important.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. It really does. Well, so that's the upside of the work that you get to do. Sometimes there are challenges associated with the things we love. What's challenging about the work that you get to do, Melissa?
Well, I think the most challenging part is really the kind of the more the mundane part, but it's really in a way the most important part, and that is just the organization that goes into running these projects. There are so many moving parts, and to keep a project moving, you have contractors and workrooms and manufacturers and showrooms and shipping and sourcing and delays, and things get damaged and then you have to refinish them, and you know, all the details that go into it. But it's just a matter of keeping on top of all of those, and that sounds kind of mundane, but it's really just so important because things can run so awry so quickly. and to the same thought, you know, I also think it's really important to, you know, manage expectations with your client and to be really upfront in the beginning and honest about, okay, you know, everyone think, you know, most people want things done fast and quickly, and, oh, we'd love to be in here in 3 months or 2 months. And just to say, it's just really not possible. There's no way that that all of this can happen. It's just impossible. And so to really kind of set those expectations, but then really try to keep those deadlines, you know, on my end of like, okay, we really need to stick to this and let's keep these things moving. Because if you don't stay on it, you know, the details get lost and, you know, you just have to follow up on everything. So that's the most challenging part, because it's just always moving and you can never kind of do it all and then be done. It's constant. So, but that's why it's important to have good people behind you to help you with it all, because it's a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls.
Lots and lots. Mm-hmm. Speak for a moment to our listeners at home, Melissa. Many of our listeners are tuning in looking for tips and ideas that are going to help them create more beauty in their home. Talk to them for a moment and share something that might be helpful to them.
Sure. Let's see, I have a few ideas on this. I think one important thing to remember is to kind of somewhat, it can be very luxe, but in a way to keep it very simple. And in a room, you don't want to have too many points of wow. You know, you kind of want to have it to be, not everything has to have a huge impact, you know, because then it just turns into a circus in your head and it kind of gives you a headache when you look at the room. But on the flip side of that, you don't want to play it too safe, you know. And even when you want a very neutral room, which can be very beautiful, and that's not necessarily playing it safe, you want to have something to kind of make it a little bit different. You know, whether it's art or whether it's one piece of furniture covered in a different way or a nice, good, solid color or something. But just to kind of not be afraid of to take a few risks. I think people make a mistake by having everything take a risk, and that doesn't really work very well. If you had to do anything, any room looks better instantly with a great plant or flowers or anything green or anything living. I mean, if you look at any picture in any magazine or in any design book or anything, if you see if this is a great room and you look, I can almost guarantee that there's always some sort of tree or plant or beautiful flowers, and it can be really simple, but it just adds something that can't be replaced by anything else. It's just kind of a necessary element in a room, I think.
It is very important, and it does add sort of a beautiful finishing touch to any
room. Right. Yes.
So talk to us for a moment then about the place that you call home, Melissa. Do you have a favorite room in your home? And if so, tell us why.
Well, this is probably an odd answer, but I think my favorite room in our house would most likely be our kitchen. And it's really because of both the kitchen and also because of the view. We live in a 1956, modern one-story house. It's shaped like an L. And so a great deal of the house has walls of windows that face onto the center kind of courtyard, front garden kind of area we have. And so the kitchen, for the way it's situated, gets the most beautiful light. And the whole one wall is just all windows that can be pulled back. And so you look onto the outside, so it's all green. The kitchen itself, by modern kind of kitchen standards, is nothing fantastic. But, it's nothing like kind of the kitchens that we help design, which is ironic. But I love the way our kitchen works. It's really quite simple. It's all original, except that we had to tear out the counters in the backsplash because it was beyond repair. And so we put stainless steel counters and backsplash, which I love so much. And I, to this day, I've only been able to use it once at a client's house because no one wants it. And I try to convince them that it's actually a really fantastic thing to have in a kitchen. It's so functional because we really do use our kitchen. And then there's fun things. I mean, it's a nice, clean, white, plain kitchen, but it has this original built-in kitchen table to the kitchen, and it's a round marble-topped, kind of like a spaceship kitchen table, which I love having a table in a kitchen. We don't have an island, and I really like having a table to eat. We eat there all the time, and that's really nice. And there's also a mixture of, art in there. Let's see what's in there. There's a 1920s Belgian oil on canvas painting of a lobster, a little langoustine that is so pretty. But then there's also some very modern art. We have a very kind of eclectic collection of just things that just kind of make you happy, like art wise, So I love it. We also have a huge commercial refrigerator, which also no one ever wants in their kitchen, because although they are wonderful because they're so useful and you can just throw in sheet trays of, you don't have to make things fit. Just, you can throw anything in there. You can put flowers in there if you want to keep them fresh for a few days. I mean, it's huge, but it just can be a little loud, but it's a good trade-off if you want a lot of room.
That's true. Very true.
So
other than the commercial refrigerator, what might our listeners be surprised to find in your home?
IKEA furniture. I love IKEA. I love antiques. I really love antiques. And I don't buy a lot of new furniture. It's either vintage or antique. I really don't buy a lot of new production furniture. But there's something about IKEA that some of their pieces I find really great. And we have several of their, what do we have? We have some bookcases here. I just redid my 13-year-old daughter's room, and we put she needed a certain size desk and a chest of drawers, and it was perfect. And it's white and pretty and clean and new, and she loves it. And it's a great, and the price point it's amazing. So I don't love everything they have there, but what they do have that I love, I think it's really good design, actually. I like it a lot.
Perfect, perfect. If you could spend an hour with a design or style hero of yours, Melissa, someone whose work and career has impacted yours, might be living, might be deceased, who would you pick and why?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this question and I couldn't pick one, so I picked two people. I hope that's okay. So one, she is deceased. I'm a really big fan of Eileen Gray. She was an Irish architect and designer, earlier in the 20th century, and she just did some really just extraordinary things. I really love the work that she did in the 1920s and 30s and, oh gosh, and beyond too. She built this beautiful house in the south of France that I know most people will know what I'm talking about, called E1027. And it's just this beautiful, modern, just very compact home that overlooks the sea, but every single thing in there works perfectly. It's just these little compartments and it's all very thought through. And it's so functional, but it's also so beautiful. I love her stuff. And I also am a big fan, and I'm sure everyone's been talking about this as well, because of this beautiful book that was just put out on him. But I really am a fan of François Coutrou. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, I love his style so much. I love the mixture of the wonderful antiques and then can go very modern. I just think it's kind of perfect, actually. And the range of work is extraordinary to me. And really flipping through that book it's a real treat. It's a beautiful book.
It is quite inspirational. Mm-hmm. It really is. Two good picks. Two very inspirational individuals. Very unique.
Yes.
But very powerful. Good picks. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's the best decorating advice you've ever come across, Melissa?
Well, I don't want to repeat myself, but I think it was to stay organized. Okay. I mean, just stay organized on these projects or they will eat you alive. And then your clients, and then you won't have a good product at the end. You're right. Unhappy. Clients are unhappy.
Yeah. But I'll also say,
it bears repeating. And I'll also say it's important to not the decorating side, but really being a decorator. I think it's important to kind of be somewhat confidential about your client's information. You know, mm-hmm. as a decorator, you're really in their life, as you should be, to make sure that you do what's right for their home. But, you know, you end up knowing a lot of things. And I think it's important to keep them to yourself and not talk about people. I think it gets done way too often, and that's unfortunate. So I try to make sure that everything is kept, you know, quiet, like it should be. So
discreet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Hypothetical here. We pray it never happens, but if the house caught fire tonight, family, loved ones, animals, they're all safe. What's the one object in your home, Melissa, that you would risk the flames to save?
Oh my gosh. You know, I think that's so hard. I have that, like, I think one of the things about being a decorator is that you really just, you think you'd want more stuff, but you really kind of end up wanting less. And you really, it's kind of more of a commodity than a thing. And of course, the main thing would be photographs. And those are, of course, on the computer and on the cloud. So those are not going to be lost. But I would grab old photos. I would grab old photos pre, you know, digital cameras and phones that we all had, because that's the one thing that you really, you know, you couldn't replace. And a handful of, you know, my girls' things, you know, when they were really young, stuff they drew, notes to you. I mean, those are the precious things in life. Everything else is just stuff.
It's just stuff. Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. Give us a book recommendation, Melissa. A book that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover who's listening.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, well, this I can credit with a friend of mine in Atlanta who told me to buy it, and I bought it, and it's so good. It's by Umberto Gili, the photographer, and it's called Home Sweet Home, and it is so great. It's a collection of his photography, his editorial photography, of interiors, and all sorts of things. You know, none of the rooms look too decorated. You know, they're kind of a little messy, and they're kind of like as if you walked into the room and you took a picture. And they're beautiful, don't get me wrong, but I think it's you know, you kind of see a little bit of the mess. It's not totally curated, which kind of makes them much more fascinating to me.
Indeed.
And real.
Yeah.
And you really like want to look at these pictures for like a while, for a long time. It's beautiful.
Good book.
Yeah,
good book.
It's nice.
We'll post a link to that in the show notes section so our listeners who don't already own it can add it to their library. And they'll be most grateful to you for the recommendation. Thank you.
Good.
Down to the last question, Melissa. You ready for this one?
Yes.
We finish every show with the same question. Let me paint a picture and get your thoughts. Imagine that you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Oh, I think this question is the easiest one of all, and I would definitely say paint. Paint, paint, paint. Paint everything and go to some great thrift stores and estate sales. For, you know, a couple of chairs and a table and a beautiful lamp. I think you could easily do that for that amount of money. I would for certain throw in some, you know, $10 or $20 for some fresh flowers and then something fun so you can invite some friends over. So you would need to go buy a great set of vintage cocktail napkins and some glasses and have cocktails and enjoy your new home.
But keep
it simple. Don't buy a bunch of stuff.
Simple indeed. Mm-hmm. Simple indeed. Melissa Morgan, great chatting with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Such fun.
This has been a lot of fun. We want to say thanks to our subscribers who are tuning into the show today. None of this means anything without you. So thanks for supporting the show, tuning in, sharing news about the show with your friends. That's how we grow. Remember to go over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post a link to Melissa's website so you can follow all the great things that she's doing. We'll also post a link to that great book, Home Sweet Home, that she's made a recommendation for. If you don't already own it, add it to your library. You will not regret the purchase. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.